Welcome back to Community Connections. We'll just play a little bit of music. Cindy McLeish, who's normally with us this time, she is with me now, had a bit of trouble getting here, but it's great to see her. Anyway, so first of all, welcome, Cindy.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you very much. Now, and can I say I had a bit of trouble because, you know, I'm the one that talks about the roads all of the time. And they're actually fixing the road between Healesville and Warialik.
which is terrific.
It's good, but and the traffic was banked up for probably almost half a kilometre in each direction. Sure. And, you know, sometimes that they're doing the work and you're not actually moving.
Yep.
No one's moving in either direction. And when you realise that there's no one coming in the other way,
you get a bit annoyed.
Anyway, that added probably 10, 15 minutes to my
worries.
So I'm apologetic. But
no, that's okay. You're here now and that's all that matters. Now, you've been down at Warburton. What have you been doing down at Warburton?
Oh, I've just been doing lots of things. It's a perfect day down in Warburton. If anyone's thinking about getting out and about, pop down there. It's really quite lovely. I mean, as is Healesville, where we are.
All the Yarra Valley is.
All of the Yarra Valley. Let's not choose favourites.
Yep.
But first of all, I was visiting the caravan park this morning, having a look at some of, you know, what they've done, which is really, you know, they've put a lot of money and a lot of effort into it, and having a look at some of that and talking about some of their options. And then I spent probably
Do they still have their big, because on Easter they used to have a concert and all that. So do they still do that?
I don't know that they do that. It's pretty, there's not a lot of space now because it's, you know, they've got a lot of cabins, they've got lots of vans were there and lots of tents. And I was surprised actually how many people were still out and about, you know, kids out and about, mostly little kids, some kids that might have been having a couple of days off school.
Well, and of course, uni hasn't started back yet, has it?
I'm not sure. I've lost track of the university timetable these days. But yeah, there's a lot of people out and about, which is terrific. And it's such a beautiful part of the Upper Yarra as well. But you could sense the positive moods and the people out. And I was speaking to the tourist centre there and the information centre down at Warby's, all volunteer run.
Yep.
You know, they have a couple of people every day, all of the time, that are in there doing their shift, and they said that they'd had, you know, between 380 and 450 people pop in over Easter, over the 4 days.
That's terrific, isn't it?
On a normal weekend, they'd probably get somewhere between, you know, 165 and 250 people. So, you know, probably double. And that's just going into the information centre. And as I said, you know, those people that work in there are all volunteers and they do a terrific job really spruiking the town. And there's a little bit of a shop and there's a little bit of a gallery there as well. They have different exhibitions. Yep. It's only small, but it's really lovely.
And you and I have spoken about this on a number of occasions, it's the community doing it for the community, isn't it?
It is, and they've got a community garden there too. And one of the locals who's done quite a bit of artwork there, Sue Dolman, she does, she paints, but she also does sculpture and mega things down at Werribee Open Park Zoo, Open Range Zoo. It's, probably 3 metre tall sculptures, but to all different types of stuff. She's done the steps at the water wheel, which are terrific, and something at the RSL. And today I was noticing some of her work, I'm sure it was her work, at the community garden. So, you know, you go in you've got a nice entrance to the community garden as well with local sculptors at work.
And there's quite a lot goes on at these community yards, haven't they? I know we've had Ethne in from the Healesville. I mean, it's not just a garden. I mean, it's almost like a little community, isn't it?
I should have taken a photo of the little chalkboard there about what happens on what days and when different things are on, because there was no shortage of activity.
Yeah. And they also, apart from, as I say, growing things, they have, from time to time, they have lectures on the day. People will come along and tell them about different things to do with plants and that.
Yeah, little kind of workshoppy type things, and it's a really good opportunity for people who don't have space in their backyards to And a lot of things are little. You know, you've got lots of all sorts of herbs. I did notice that there was a bay tree. It was only tiny, and I was going to leave a note to say make sure it stays tiny because my dad put one in and it just about overtook everything. It was so big. So big. And it all sounds like a really great idea, but, oh, my gosh, we're never going to – you know, we probably could have gone into selling bay leaves as a a secondary business.
And the other thing, too, with these gardens, and it, I know you and I have talked about it a number of times, a lot of people are so socially isolated, particularly if they're just by themselves, and it's a great opportunity to go down there with a reason to have a look at it and maybe get a plot. And even if you it's just a social activity as well.
That's right, and there's all different ways that they operate. The one in Warburton's not one where you could get a plot, but the one in Healesville has got a lot of space.
Yep.
So it's just a community with the small, tin tub sort of thing with a whole lot of different things growing in there. But it's free for people to take what you want rather than you just have your own little plot that you grow your own carrots and zucchini, whereas here it's what's there that everybody can use.
Oh,
so it looked as though it was fairly well used.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more.
All the kings and queens in the Bible, they could not turn back time. So what chance have I of a miracle in this life of mine? Want one day to unsay the things I said, undo the thing I did. 24 little hours, oh God, please wipe them all away, and I promise I will change if I could start today again. I'm not the milk and honey kind. Today I proved it true. When the red mist falls around my eyes, I know not what I do. Please give me back today, and I won't say the things I said or do that thing I did. Every minute, every hour, the replay's just the same, and I can't stand the shame. Let me start today again. That's all of every day that's been before, since time began. I know my prayer's in vain, but for a second I'll pretend that I can start today again.
That was Paul Kelly, and if I could start the day again, and I think at times we all feel like that, but anyway, I'm talking to Cindy. Cindy, coming up a couple of days' time, Anzac Day, what's going on and where will you be?
Oh, gosh, you know, we just had a calculation in the office yesterday and I've got 24 wreaths going to different
24?
Services across my electorate.
Yep.
So I'm starting at Healesville. At the dawn service. I'm speaking at the dawn service.
Yep.
Then I'll duck over to the Upper Yarra because they've got their the service at, 9:30 or 10 o'clock. It'll be in my calendar and I'll turn up wherever I'm supposed to
where
turn
you
up.
Yep.
Pretty good at knowing that. Yep. And, sometimes I'll drop in back at Yarra Glen or somewhere else where they might be having a little drink after that. But I know that the Greyhounds in Healesville are also having an Anzac Day fundraiser for the local RSLs.
Oh, are they?
So I might just duck into the dogs. It's a pretty interesting track here in
Healesville. See if you can lose some money.
Oh, it's got to be easy when there's only eight dogs in a race. But here, you know, they have a straight... It's only a straight track. There's no bends. So it's really good. And it's really good for the welfare of the dogs.
Yeah.
And they do a great job there. They've got some really great little function rooms that you can go to on you can rent them out, hire them out as well. And it's on a bit of a slope, so you've got a really lovely like it's easy to see everywhere. Kids, a lot of grass so kids can play. So it's really actually quite good. But they are having an Anzac Day fundraiser for the local RSLs.
And this is actually on Anzac Day.
This is on Anzac Day in the afternoon. So there's a chance that I might duck into that. But but not only, you know, do we have dawn services and and I think you'd agree, they're becoming increasingly popular.
Oh, they certainly are. They certainly are. And, of course, when you're talking about this, I mean, it's all about, and it should be all about the veterans, but also we should have also mentioned the service clubs because Lions and I know Rotary, they get out and very often they cater for the breakfast for the dawn service.
That's right. And Millgrove Residents Action Group, I think, actually do organise their service.
Yep. Terrific. So, again, it's and I know I keep stressing this, but it's a community doing it for the community, and I just don't think you can get it any better than that.
No. And look, tomorrow, some of the schools that are doing their own things, and tomorrow I'll be at Middle King Lake Primary School. They do something there pretty well every year. The principal there is really quite dedicated to making sure that the kids understand Anzac Day, and they've got a bit of a, you know, one of those sort of a silhouette of a soldier in the garden with some rosemary around it and things like that.
Yep.
And they have a couple of speakers, and it's only, you know, short, but they do it every year. And Yarra Junction are doing it as well. And I'd already said yes to Middle King Lake, and Yarra Junction are having theirs around about the same time. So I can't get to both.
Be everywhere.
So there's a lot. Lots happening, and that's really good. I'm really pleased that there is so much happening.
And then a lot of people take the opportunity in the afternoon to wind up down the RSL too, don't they?
They do. There might be the odd game of two up. I don't think I've ever played two up.
No, I've never. Not even sure what the rules are.
They can't be too hard. It's only one coin.
Well, that's true too. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back with more.
Fall down. Don't pick yourself up if you're on the ground. You've got to learn like everybody else. Your heart is in your hands. You get along yourself. It's human nature for hearts to ache. Totally normal, so for goodness sake, we got to learn like everybody else. Your heart is in your hands. Gentle on yourself. Your heart is in your hands. Be gentle on yourself. We've all been down from time to time. You take a dive, but you survive. And pretty soon you're riding high. Be gentle on yourself. Think of your myself.
Well, Cindy, we had a great event a couple of weeks ago. We actually had Mr. Excited in talking about he was part of it with a car show on the Saturday, but we had the Crank Up Weekend. So tell us a bit about that, please, Cindy.
And that's a real cracker of a weekend, it actually, Alan. I don't know if you've been.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I went on the Sunday this year and, you know, I pretty well go every year. It's at the Upper Yarra Museum, which, as you know, is open.
And a lot of people don't realise it's there, do they? A lot of residents do not realise it's there.
You know, they've got some really cool stuff. You know, they've got the old Powltown police station, which is half the size of the room we're sitting in now, you know, the lock-up and, well, even the police station. And it's on the old railway station. So
and that gives it a real atmosphere, doesn't it, with the old train there?
Yeah, it feels like an old station, you know, and how they've got it done up. And, you know, they have different people catering with different, you know, the scones and jam, like on the railway platform. So it does kind of feel a little bit like that. But they had wood chop and they had a couple of Americans there this year.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to see them. I was there, I saw some of the earlier heats. I didn't get to see the finals. But that always draws.
Oh, it's terrific, isn't it?
Yeah. And they had old draft horses, the Clydesdales, had donkey rides.
Yep.
Linda from East Warby, I think, was doing the donkey rides. She's always relied, you can always rely on her to bring the donkeys
bring the
along.
Donkeys along. And, of course, what we should mention apart from that is all through the year, there's a museum, there's old radios, there's old telephones, there's old clothing. There's just so much, isn't it? And I don't think a lot of people realise just how big it is and what a treasure it is.
And it's a fair bit of space there behind it because it goes quite, you know, down quite a way. So behind the railway station, they have the wood shop, and further behind that is where the donkey rides are and the horses. And they had an old hay bale.
I don't like the way when you talk donkeys, you keep looking at me and laughing. Sorry.
No, Alan, you're imagining that. you know, they had. I don't think they didn't have camels this year. That was somewhere else I was at where I think they had camels. But they had an old hay baler, so they shove the, you know, the hay in and it, you know, comes out the other end. And they've got, you know, the old generators and all petrol and diesel machines that, you know, that they worked. They might not have been as efficient as we've got nowadays, but they all worked and they were all fairly simple machines.
And again, we should mention it's all run by volunteers.
Yeah, it is.
And not only do they sort of take the collections in, but they do things that have to be done to them, and then they're there every weekend showing them off.
Exactly. And I think they're really proud of what they've got to show off. And just on top of the crew from the Upper Yarra Museum that are there, we also had the Yarra Junction Fire Brigade, the Upper Yarra SES, I think the Red Cross are there. So, you know, they have those vehicles there. So kids like to jump on a fire truck and have a look and see what sort of goodies that they've got under. You know, you lift up something and there's a whole lot of saws and different types of things. So,
and then up still in your area, you had the Rob Roy Car Club by the MG Car Club. I love the old. I'm not going to mention the new ones, but I love the old MGs.
Do you know, it's pretty amazing. So they've got this fairly steep hill at Smith's Gully, just at the back of Yarra Glen in Nillumbik. And it goes kind of from a flat and around a corner and up to the top. And it doesn't take very long. You know, it's less than 20 seconds for these cars to make it from the bottom to the top. And there's a constant parade of different categories of cars. And, you know, the MGs are there and it's run by the MG Car Club. And they've done really, really well with their car club because they've been able to increase. They've got a little shelter, a pavilion-y thing, but it's in the shape of an octagon, and they've actually added two more octagons to it. And I forget what they call it, but it's got this really cute name that they refer to this. I can't remember what it was called, but it's something to do with octagons. So, like, it just blends in, and each year they've got something a little bit better. So on one of the bends, you know, they've got a little bit of a grandstand and some seats so people can get a view from a different angle.
But that's terrific, isn't it?
One of the other things that I really quite like is they encourage people to come in the theme, in the feel of the older, you know, MG. So they have
dressed in that style.
Dressed in that style. Yeah. And so you'll have men and women dressed, you know, with, say, maybe cravats, and the women will have the scarves in their hair and the polka dot scarves and flary skirts and different things. It's a whole festival for the day.
I was down at Rosebud over the long weekend, and I went past one of the, or it's not an op shop, but it's an antique shop, and they had those big petticoats that the girls
Just,
they had them for sale. And I remember my sister used to wear one. You know, they used to have these dresses flared
right out.
These great big petticoats. I forget what they were called, but they were actually for sale down there in one of these antique shops.
Oh, gosh, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? But, no, so it's always, it's an added bit of fun, you know, when you've got something like that. So there have been a couple of really quirky events in the local area, you know, the Rob Roy Hill Climb. They've had it years and years ago for a long period of time.
Yep.
And it's called now the Rob Roy Revival because they've had it back for the last 3 or 4 years. And there are people locally who have cars, old cars. You know, there's a lot of people out there that have got an old car in the...
Oh,
in the shed, in the garage,
are.
There's a lot of people, and they all bring them out. and there's rows and rows and rows of these cars. It's really actually good. I really enjoy it.
It's really terrific. I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more.
You down in the past, 'cause I've got so many places to go. Girl, I promise I'll be around. Give me a chance, 'cause I'm singing for you every show. How can it be? I'm in so deep, it's hard to believe this world. Thinking of you, just lying there, sleeping alone. How can it be? I feel you creep into my every dream. I'm coming back Christmas Eve.
And we're talking to Cindy McLeish. Now, Cindy, we always like to have a bit of a laugh, but this is a pretty serious thing that we want to talk about now, because I read the other day, I think Christmas Day and Good Friday are the greatest, the police get the greatest call-outs for family violence. And it's just abysmal.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's really quite scary, and I've seen figures, you know, in other places too about, you know, the loss of sporting teams and things like that that exacerbate and trigger somebody who's got that propensity for violence.
Just because a football team loses or something.
Yeah, and, you know, you wonder on Christmas Day or Good Friday are often where there's, you know, lots more family around and I don't know if it's drinking or mental health issues or stress or a bit of everything, and sometimes people just aren't nice people either.
No.
But I'm the shadow minister for...
I'm glad you brought that up.
For the prevention of family violence. So I'm out there a lot and I'm talking to a lot of people and, you know, hearing court cases of what happens. And, there's some of the stories you can't make up. Like, I can't believe... Well, you do believe it, but it's horrible. And there's different organisations, and one of the ones that I was going to mention is Safe Steps. And Safe Steps are there pretty well for a 24-hour response. And, you know, if they need to contact you, that if you need to contact them, you know, there's phone numbers and they're available to try and help you through that immediate period of crisis. And
Cindy, can I just ask you, when you say they can help you, do they just counsel or they actually can direct you to the police and maybe emergency shelter and that?
Yeah, they do a whole lot of things actually, and they've got a sanctuary which I visited a month or two back, and that was... an old aged care facility that has been secured off, and everybody who goes there, they can stay for a few weeks.
Yep.
So you're safe, and they have people working with you to teach you how to be safe too, because sometimes people don't understand what they need to do to be safe.
Yep.
And, you know, things have changed. The monitoring of people where you don't realise somebody can put a bug in your car, someone can put a bug in your handbag. You know, I've heard that bugs in the lid of a pen. You know, I've got a pen now and, you know, putting it in there and you're not kind of looking, going, oh, what's that in there? Or in various places, in kids' teddy bears or school bags and different things.
I heard the other day that with what you're talking about, the mobile phones, because some of them you can put in that you've, you know, you've lost something and all this jazz. And I've heard what you just said, that there is an app that, and it doesn't come up as an app on the front. It's just in the phone, and they're able to track the phone where you're going.
Yeah, without you even realising that it's been done. So before that you can go into the sanctuary at the Safe Steps, they do a complete debugging of you, everything that you might be taking in there, and the kids as well. Sometimes, things are in the sole of a kid's shoe. So not only do they have, you know, night's crisis that they can help provide, but this is like a three-week wraparound service, so it gives a really good outcome. But I think, what is it, last year they had 130,000
130,000
handled, 33,000 nights of crisis accommodation. That might be, you know, a lot more over a longer period.
Yep.
And each night, 90 victim survivors are offered safety.
You know. And so that's the ones, pardon me, that are offered safety. These are not the ones who are still in the home.
Yeah, and then some people end up in motels, which isn't great either. But there's also different groups that, you know, I meet with, and one of the others is a Victim Survivors Advisory Council, where it's people who have been subject to abuse. And one of them's he's probably 20, and he wrote a book a number of years ago, which I had in my office as well, about the shadow always being there, because his father was the perpetrator of abuse to the mother and to the two children. And so he's now one of the people that's on the Victim Survivors Advisory Council, so that, yeah,
he'd be
tell
great
people
to have, wouldn't he?
Yeah, and Safe Steps launched a short film, fairly recently. And it was, it included this young boy's story in it, but it talked about the role of kids. And when there's an incident, you know, the mother or the parent, not always the mother, mostly, gets looked after, and often the kids are kind of just tagging along. And, you know, the kids are like, we saw it, we heard it, happened to us.
It happened to my mum, because kids are always close to mum.
Yeah, you know, so they... and they say sometimes that we're forgotten about. It's like, hang on a minute, you know, we've got a voice too here, and please listen to what we have to say. And I thought, well, that's a really good point, isn't it? You know, that for the kids that for everybody to think, well, okay, good, we, you know, get mum safe and secure and go, look, okay, how are you going to pay for this, or how are you going to be financially secure, where are you going to spend tomorrow night or whatever, and help mum do some trauma debriefing. But sometimes the kids get left behind, and I think that was a really good really good message.
And one of the things, pardon me, when we talked, we actually had the retired police chaplain in the first hour. I was talking to Jim Pilmer, and one of the things with those sorts of things is that the trauma can go on for years too, can't it? Like, it's not necessarily when they go to these safe steps and that. It's not often on the first night. I mean, some of these things the kids could have seen for years.
That's right. And trauma does live on for a really long time. And even if you've had a traumatic incident with a motor vehicle accident or bushfires or floods or different things, and violence is another one of the traumatic events, and it can lead to long-term mental health issues. And I think the kids are saying, look, you know, let us work it through when we're young while it happens, so that we're not dealing with it when we're 20 or 30.
Because one of the things that Jim was saying is that it's a cumulative effect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cindy, I've got about a minute and a half to go. Is there anything else you'd like to say before
Look,
we go?
The film that they've got is called Unanswered Calls, and one of the things that I've been really pleased about is the Chief Justice Altergren, who's the Chief Justice in the Family Court. He's having an evening coming up next week, actually, where he's got a whole lot of the people in the legal fraternity, all the different judges from different courts, all going together to have a look at that video as well, so that they get an understanding of things from the kids' point of view. And I think, you know, as we're community members and you see things, you know things, you might know something that's happened next door or wherever or in your own family, and there's plenty of that to make sure that the kids get some counselling, or, you know, people talking to them. Whether or not that can be provided at the school all the time, maybe not, but, you know, we need to look after the next generation coming through.
Cindy, that Unanswered Calls, is that eventually going to wind up on YouTube, do you know?
Well, I'd like to think so, but it goes for probably, I'm trying to think, 35, 40 minutes or something like that. So it's long for YouTube, but it might get a go on, you know, somewhere on TV. I'd like to think.
Are they based in Melbourne?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind trying to talk to them, and because I think that...
Oh, they'd be very happy. Yeah, very happy to talk to you. And they're one of a number of organisations that are out there providing support. But, yeah, they're doing a great job.
Got to go, Cindy. Thank you for your time again. We look forward to talking to you next month.